Todd McGowan, August 30th and 31st, 1970.
After your mother finished your boarding house on the flat, what did you do then? After you quit washing dishes down there for her.
Well, you want the resources now?
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go after you left 322 East Main?
Went to Howard Avenue.
Where'd you live there? What number?
I can't remember. The second house to the left on Howard Avenue. There's a corner house, and then it was LePage's apartment. But Mr. Page, his wife and son, next house was Nano's, Howard Avenue.
Mm-hmm. How many rooms were in that house?
Oh, there was, I think there was 3 bedrooms upstairs. And there was a kitchen and a parlor and a sitting room. Inside the bathroom.
This was in the whole house?
Yeah. And they had a garage up, too, for one car. That's the time I went with the horses.
Did she buy new furniture when she moved from there, from East Main Street to Howard Avenue?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember. She might have bought a little stand or something.
Did people those days buy furniture often?
Well, we didn't, or they didn't, too much. I don't know what other people was doing, but I know that I didn't buy any new furniture that I remember of. Well, then, after she sold the house to Marvin Barnes, I'm pretty sure we went to of course, first of all, when she sold the McGowan farm, we went to Bangor, you know, on her father's farm.
Yeah, we have that.
Yeah.
But after she sold it to Marvin Barnes, you went to Franklin Street.
Went to Franklin Street, as I remember.
And while you were on Howard Avenue, you went to Kingston, Ontario to take care of the horses.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, how'd you get that job? How'd you hear about that?
Oh, I seen the man here on the... man by the name of John Porter. I had got acquainted with him at the fairground.
What were you doing at the fairground?
Well, just same as I always do, over around the barns.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was standing near him with 2-3 other men. He said he wished he could hire somebody to go with him. I stepped up to him and said, I'll go. I went to Kingston, Ontario, Blue Bonnets and Blue Mountain and Richelieu, all racetracks.
What was the Malone Fair like in those days?
Only 3 days. I don't know when they did start their a whole week, days and nights. I don't remember that. But when I was on the milk cart from Manili, they only had 3 days. So they had, Thursday was always the best race day. Never had any rain that I ever knew of, to mount in. And 6 o'clock, you couldn't get back on the fairground. All locked up and the lights out, only just in the barns.
What went on there during the day?
Well, I have been on the fairground when there was 18,000 people. The grandstand holds pretty near 5,000, it was just loaded to capacity, and you couldn't walk anywhere on the fairground. Just stand still with so many people. All horses and buggies. The horses was all hitched in the center ring to the fence. Everybody brought their meals, not all of them. And grain for the horses that was tied to the fence, and some hay. And John Bovine had an eating stand along near the road.
What road?
Near this main road. He had an eating stand there.
Near Main Street?
Yeah, right near Main Street. Mm-hmm. He had, well, it was a long building, 5 or 6 doors. You go in this door, it's the same place, and go in this door. The table's a full length. We'll say from the ticket office to the watering kiln over there was John Bovine's eating stand. A lot of ladies working for him. At noon, he'd go to each door and ring a bell like a school bell for people to come and eat that wander.
What doors?
Well, he'd come right out of his dining room and stand on the step and ring the bell. You'd see men from the trotting barn coming, you get a good dinner for 35 cents.
What doors would he go to? Doors of people who own houses or doors on the fairground?
No, the doors out of his dining room.
Oh.
There was 5 or 6 doors. You could go in this door or that door, wherever there was a vacant chair. They had long wooden tables in there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that, John Bovine. But he, to bring them from the racetrack or from the, there wouldn't be so many eating stands, you know. Be more shows those days. Now down there tonight or any time during the week, nothing but eating stands. So they tore that old building down. It was a wooden building, and they put that woven wire fence up. No more John Bovine. Dead years ago.
What did it look like inside, aside from the long tables?
It was rustic inside, as I remember. It was just plain elm boards, or maple boards. But it was nice and clean. The floor was just hardwood floor, but it was nice and clean. Tablecloth on every table, full length of that building. You get a good meal, pie and coffee and vegetables and potatoes and corn and everything for 35 cents. There was two men right outside that was getting ready to fight. They had been drinking. And they were staggering around there, getting ready to fight, and they were getting madder and madder. The whiskey was talking, and one said to the other, one said, "I wish I hit somebody to hold my coat." So I stepped up and said, "I'll hold your coat for you." He didn't take his coat off. One went that way, and one went that way. There was no fight to it, just drunk. But they could stand up all right. He kept doing this with his coat, you know, and I said, "I'll hold it." I was always around to help people out that way.
What kind of amusements did they have on the Midway?
Old Ferris wheel and merry-go-round with good tunes and Brown's show.
What was Brown's show?
Brown's show was a regular vaudeville show. Step dancing. And good jokes, some of them red-headed Irishmen, good jokes, violin players and piano players in there. That's how they furnished the music. And the tent was right near the racetrack as you go over to center field. Always Brown show there. 15 cents go in. Stay there as long as you want to.
What other shows were there?
Well, they always had a Negro show around there somewhere. Then they had them man and his wife that roomed over to Nano's. She was down in the. You had to go upstairs to see her down in there.
Where did she room? What house was that?
322 East Main.
So this was around 1920, 21, 22.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
She was a fine-looking, light-complected woman. Oh, probably 22 years old, and he wasn't much older. They roomed at Nano's because they used to come out after they'd been to the fair all day, all dressed up, and come up here to Grand Theater. And she was in a big high tent, but she was down in the bottom, and you had to go upstairs to see her down in there. She had fingernails about that long and teeth about that long and...
About how many inches long were her fingernails?
Well, they were artificial. They were just put on.
Mm. How long were they? How many inches?
Why, like that?
2.5?
Yeah. And she had teeth sticking out of her mouth and a great big nose and false hair and a pitchfork down in there. She had a pitchfork. 10 cents to look at her. And there was a fella underneath where she was with a wash tub about the size of ours. I seen it. With a hole through the tub, see? And then he had a rope through there. And you run the rope through there and tie a knot in it, in the tub. Then he had a good comfortable chair there. And he'd hold that rope in his hand, and he had this cloth all rosin. But when he closed the door, you couldn't see him. But it was... Everybody thought 'twas her. 'Twas him underneath there, that wash tub. And rosin on it, rope belt that size. Oh, you could hear it through at the trotting barn. Then and the other man was walking around saying, don't put your hands over the railing that way, she'll cut them right off for you. She'd strike at you, but she didn't mean to hit you with a pitchfork.
What was she named as the outside of the barker?
Oh. Minnehaha.
Was she?
Something like that. Minnehaha, I think. Big letters. The wild girl. She wasn't any more wild than that thing there. For me.
What was her real name?
I don't know.
What did she look like when she had all her disguise off?
Oh, beautiful. She's about the size of Evelyn and the same color hair. Evelyn McGowan, or Miller. Cute couple they was.
Was that her husband that was the rope man? What other kinds of sideshows would they have besides Brown Show and her and...
Well, they had a lot of them throw at the baby dolls, you know. So with the monkeys or something like that. They always had that stuff on the fairground anyway. You couldn't beat them at their own game. Ball player from Burke, I was standing there one day. 3 balls for a dime. Boys, he knocked them cats off just as fast as they'd set them up. Well, they kept handing out cats, and he said, "Has you got any other prizes?" They said, "Walk away, we don't want you around here anymore." He said, "What's the matter with my money?" I heard him just, "What's the matter with my money? Can't I throw these balls?" He said, "We won't have anything left. Go on." Ball player. They could not do anything with him. Say, he was a light-complected, heavy young fella. And bang, bang, them little dolls would fall. Somebody else come along, couldn't knock any of them off. They really told him to go.
What kind of rides did they have?
Oh, something like they have down here. The merry-go-round I always liked the best. Seems though it had better music or something. You could ride for a nickel. And the next year, I guess it was a dime. Now it's 40 cents besides tags. Take you around a couple times and stop. My.
You had an experience on the Ferris wheel once, didn't you?
Yeah, I was with that big Lawrence Shanyo, and of course he had to eat so often. I filled up on spaghetti and ketchup and something they had down there. Gooseberry pie, I guess. He said, "Let's go up on the Ferris wheel." I said, "No, I don't want to." Well, I said, "Come on, what's the matter, you afraid?" I said, "No, we just had something to eat." Well, that was on that jerky thing. For I had a new suit on and sewed up all over it. Then we had to go home. But I was all right in the Ferris wheel. It stopped right on the top. When them things sway that way, I sure will never go up there, never in my life again.
Where did you throw up, on the ground or on the Ferris wheel?
No, I threw up right on that floor where we were going around then stop, going around then stop. Up come ketchup and everything. Then he laughed. Oh, darn big pop. Well, all I had to do was go across the road and change my clothes and take the suit, try to clean the suit, and then I took it to the laundry, I suppose. Got dizzy, you know. I couldn't even hardly walk.
And then you had another experience in a fun house.
Oh, yeah. I remember that fun house. It was just I and that big woman in there. I didn't know she was in there. Just two of us. The mirrors would make you short, and then they make you tall. And then they were all shaking like that, you know. I heard somebody walking in there, and I kept on walking. There were two velvet curtains hanging there, so it said, step in here. So I stepped in through them velvet curtains, and the floor went out from under us, and she was ahead of me. And that shiny chute, you know, she was a large woman, very large woman, and she didn't go down the chute fast enough. I couldn't stop, and I got right straddle of her neck. And she said, you son of a bitch, get off my back. And the boys were waiting for me. They knew I went in, waiting for me at the bottom of this chute. But when I landed, when they see me coming, your feet would hit right in the sand. I ducked into the crowd and a purpose to get away from the boys because they were guying me. She was a kind of rough pup. She got to swearing. Didn't take us long to come down.
Who were they that were waiting for you?
Old Freddie Manson and Willis and I don't know, some of the other fellows that knew me. I skipped them. But I met them over around the cow barn again. Well, that's all I can tell you about the fair.
How about the cattle barns?
Well, they had pretty good cattle barns. There's a few of them tied outdoors. They've built on to these cow barns.
Can you remember when there were no cow barns there?
I don't know as I can. They might tie some calves outside, young calves for premium. But I don't know that I remember when there wasn't any barns at all. I don't think so. Got another storm coming.
What were the races like in those days? How are they different from the races today?
Well, they were faster, better track. Faster.
Did the men in those days wear colored clothes?
Yeah, oh, always. You gotta for safety, you gotta wear a colored coat and cap. Mm-hmm. You can wear your same trousers, but you gotta have that green and white or blue and white coat on. Or they won't let you go.
What time, the day you went to the fair, what time in the morning would you start out if you lived in the country?
Oh. If you lived in the country, heaven sakes, everybody was going by with their horse and buggies. You'd leave home about 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Make a day of it, because you had to come home and do chores at night, you know, half past 4. No fair at night. And hot. And dusty.
What would you take to eat?
Oh, the women folks would make pies and cakes and sandwiches and coffee and tea and milk and had a couple of baskets there with a handle on them and either sat in the buggy or they spread some blankets behind the buggy and eat there.
What kind of meat would they bring?
Oh, whatever they had around the farm, pork or beef or chicken. People didn't go anywhere those days, only just to the fair. You know, it was all horses. Unless you want to, there was lots of trains if you want. Our folks was going to go to Montreal, carry down Montreal, almost 75 miles on the train. And they talked about it all summer to get ready to go to Montreal on the train, never went near it.
Why were they going to Montreal?
Oh, just to say that they went into Montreal, the city of Montreal. Never went at all. Couldn't
reason?
Agree.
What was the reason they didn't?
Well, for one thing, I guess they didn't have the money, maybe.
And what couldn't they agree about?
Well, afraid to get lost and afraid they'd miss the train coming back, and never was in the city, and there was too much to do on the farm, and the train was too dangerous, and all them excuses. I heard them all. They'd have an excursion, you know, from Utica to Montreal. The tickets would be cheaper. That's what they would be talking about if they could go on the excursion.
Did they have a balloon rising at the fair?
Yeah, it. Somebody would notify everybody, watch your horses, the balloon's going up. Some horses are ungodly scared and they'd pull back and break their halter and break their halter stale and all that time they had. It was just like a great big what do they call that? That balloons that
helium balloons.
Something like that. It would raise up slow and just go up to the top of one of these hills up here, up above the fairground and come back. That's all there was to it.
Was there a man in it?
Yeah.
Did the women go up the fair in their long dresses?
Yeah.
Get dirty?
Someone was dragging. That was unreasonable, wasn't it? Now they're just far the other way.
Did the women go to the horse barns and cow barns?
Yeah. Some wouldn't.
How about your grandmother?
Oh, they'd always go. If there was farmers, they'd always go.
You were in the habit of going over there and to the horse barns during the fair time?
Oh,
where
always.
You met this man?
Always.
So after you accepted his offer going to Kingston, what did he say?
Put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "All right, sonny, we'll be going this afternoon or tomorrow morning."
What did you do then?
Well, I went and got some clothes, I suppose. I had to report, you know, that back to the Trout River lines that I was in Canada. Going in and had to come back to the lines and report.
What kind of a vehicle did you go in?
Oh, we had a regular horse truck with a cover on it. Two horses in back like they got now. And his car.
Which one did you go in? Car or the truck?
Oh, in the car. The horses was all covered up in back. Pacer and a trotter.
What did your mother think about your going to...
She didn't want me to go.
What did she say about it?
Oh, find the fault. Worrying.
When you finally did go, was she upset?
Well, not too terrible. Some. She didn't show it much. I wrote her a couple of letters, as I remember. There was over 100 horses down there where I was, race horses.
What did what were your duties once you got there?
Take care of the horses and groom them, and clean the stable and drive them. Grease the harnesses, stay with them.
What time did you have to get up in the morning to do this?
Oh, 6 o'clock, at that 6.
Mm-hmm. What was the first thing you did in the day?
Well, you see, we boarded ourselves. We had one stall for the horses and one for us, with two cots in it. and stove, oil stove. And Mr. Porter would go and get some pies and hamburg, and I'd cook it, milk, coffee. Then we'd get sick of that, and we were right close to the fairground. Not much farther than up to Newberry's. And he'd say, let's go over there for supper tonight. He was awful good to me. Dead now. I was bold.
What was his first name?
John.
Was he older than you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He was a middle-aged man or more.
Unmarried?
No. I see his wife and daughter. They come down there. They used to bring us food, his wife and daughter.
He was from Kingston?
No, we went to Kingston.
Where was he from?
Burke.
Oh. So he was a traveling horse trainer?
Yeah, all the time.
Well, who was he working for?
Himself.
And who were the horses?
His own.
Yeah. Why did you take them to Kingston?
Well, that's where the good purses was. Mm-hmm. Good half-mile track.
What do you do the first thing in the morning when you're taking care of these horses?
Oh, give them something to eat, give them a drink, and take them out of the stall and walk them, and clean the stable. And if it was race day, we were busy. Have to jog them before you race them, you know.
Were the horses fed more there at the racetrack than if they were on the farm at home? Did you feed them more than you fed your own?
No, I fed them just the same.
How much was that?
We fed them four times a day when they were racing. Can't give them too much at once. We fed them four times a day.
How much each time?
3 quarts of oats four times a day. That's 12 quarts. Mm-hmm. Besides, didn't give them too much hay, but we gave them condition powders and minerals, medicine. Take the measure and measure out. With a quart cup, measure out 3 quarts for each horse, but they got it 4 times a day. They looked good, they were beautiful. Not because I took care of them. He'd help, he was a nervous man. Chewed tobacco about like Eddie Demo, all the time.
Now how was he built physically?
Oh, heavy. Short and heavy. Black hair.
Was he hard to get along with?
No, always. He was all right.
How many horses were you taking care of?
2. That was a lot to do. 1 race today, 1 race tomorrow.
What were their names?
Francis Trojan and Peter Schuyler. Francis Trojan was the female, Peter Schuyler was the male. Stud horse he was. Weighed about 1,000 pounds. They wasn't very large, but they were good. Going to 6.
What were the special things you did to take care of them?
Don't float their teeth and...
How describe that, what that's like.
Well, they have a float about that long.
What's a float?
It's a piece of iron with a wooden handle. And it looks like a rasp here.
Like a file?
Yeah. Not sharp like a file. You open their mouth and pull their tongue out and go up in the air. Like that. Go easy. Take the sharp edges off the teeth.
Is it rasped on both sides?
No, just one.
Just one.
Yeah.
It's about 2 feet long?
Yeah, about that long. You mustn't float them very often.
What's the purpose of floating the teeth?
Well, to get the sharp edges off so they, when they chew hay, the sharp edge won't go in their cheek. If the teeth is sharp, it goes in their cheek and they'll spit the hay out. Then they ain't getting any food. They ache and they get red. Well, we used to give them corn on the cob to keep the lampers back.
What are the lampers?
Lampers come down over the teeth. And they all turn red and they get sore. Well, you give them corn on the cob and they go down in the manger after it and they push the lampers up. Man can't do it, but the horse can do it with corn on the cob.
They
used to rub them with peroxide.
Why do the lampers get red?
Oh, because they're irritated. They're growing down on the tooth, from here down, like a gum or a goom. They call it, that's the lampers.
Do these horses have any spavins or other ailments on the legs?
No, we were worried that they would, but they didn't. Of course, we always rubbed their legs with Tuttle's liniment and rubbed their kidneys with Tuttle's liniment and put hot blankets on them. Then we'd bandage them, but when it's time for them to go to bed, take the bandages off.
Yeah. What would go wrong with the kidneys?
Well, that was to only strengthen the kidneys.
What do you mean strengthen the kidneys?
Well, we didn't know that. We didn't know if the kidneys was aching or not, but we'd relieve the horse.